Today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. All the fathers who are here, there are many fathers here. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Some of you have stickers. Happy Father's Day. It happens that this year, Father's Day falls on this day, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, which brings to mind a passage from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians where he prays for them to the Father. This is what St. Paul says. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you in accord with the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self. So all fathers, all fatherhood ultimately is based on the fatherhood of God himself. Every father, you could say, represents God the Father in some way, not perfectly, of course, but really a real image of God the Father. So we should not fall for the modern world's negative view of fathers or fatherhood. We should not give in to the all too common rejection of masculinity. No, these realities point us to God. They point us to the Father, who is honored today together with God the Son and with God the Holy Spirit. Today's joyful feast day. Now, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, which comes 1 week after Pentecost Sunday, is also, in a sense, a continuation of Pentecost Sunday. Last week, we celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father and the Son. Today, we reflect on such questions as, well, where did this Holy Spirit come from? Who is he? And what's his connection to God? In other words, once we receive the Holy Spirit, as we celebrated last week, now we are at last prepared to ponder the mystery of God in himself. Not what he has done or how he has acted in history, but his own self, his own inner life. Who is this? Who is God? What is God? And what can we know about him? And what's our connection with him? What's our relationship with him? How can there be a connection? These are all really the most central questions of all. This is what distinguishes believers from non-believers. It also, the Trinity is what distinguishes Christian believers from all others who profess belief in a supreme being. Now, during the rest of the year, we sort of take these things for granted, that there is a God. Otherwise, why would we come to Mass? We just acknowledge that there's a God and that we can know him and that we can relate to him and that we can pray to him and we can rely on him, that he has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself in the world, in time, that he's loving, that he's lovable, that he's merciful, that he's trustworthy. Otherwise, as I said, why would we be here? We wouldn't waste our time in prayer and worship and striving to fulfill his will, striving to love him and love our neighbor. So I say, all year long, we're built on this foundation, but today gives us an opportunity to think about God himself, and that's a great thing. That's a joyful opportunity. This is not a day to say, oh, I can't understand it, so I won't bother. No. There are a lot of things we can't understand. A lot of things, and that doesn't stop us. That's okay. I have often heard married couples say, I can't understand him. I can't understand her. I can't understand each other. It's a mystery. They love each other. They're deeply committed to each other for life. They have a life together. They have children, family, homes. But they still say, I just can't really understand why she always does that. I can't understand why he always says that. Sometimes people say this sort of thing about their children. I'll never understand my teenage daughter. But they don't say, therefore, I'm not going to try. I'm just going to give up. I don't care about her. No. If we love any human person, then we love to think about that person, him or her. We love to get to know them better, even if they are sometimes mysterious, even if they're sometimes difficult to relate to. And if we love God, we love to think about God, we love to relate to God, we love to spend time with God. After all, there's so much more to our life than the troubles of this world, which often preoccupy us. Yes, we live in a world with political strife and new wars breaking out and sicknesses and suffering, strife and death. But that's not the whole picture of reality. There's God. There's an eternal God. There's eternal life. So let's not waste this precious day of the Most Blessed Trinity. Let's not waste this day. It's a day for honoring God and for loving God and for drawing close to Him. Now, our Christian understanding of who God is both very simple and impossibly mysterious at the same time. Very simple. God is one God in three divine persons. One God, the only God, the eternal God, the holy God, the infinite God. He simply is. Very simple. And we know His name. His name is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Blessed Trinity. And that's it. Even a child knows that. Anyone who has learned that the most basic prayer, the sign of the cross, knows it and professes it in the name, not in the names, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God is simple, very simple. That captures Him in a certain way. But at the same time, He's incomprehensible. He's mysterious. He's inexhaustible. No matter how hard we try to grasp Him, understand Him, we fail. Actually, this should be no surprise to us at all. Even our efforts to grasp the physical world can make our heads spin. How big is the universe? How old is it? How many stars are there? What is light? Is it a wave or a particle? How much does it weigh? Things like that. We can't imagine the answers to those natural, physical realities. Even sometimes events in the news are mind-boggling to us. Last Thursday, there was the news of that terrible, tragic crash of a plane in India. I'm sure you heard of that. There were 242 people on board that plane. 241 of them died, and one of them lived. He got up and walked away. How did that happen? No one can understand it. Even the secular media, they can't help but say, it's miraculous that anyone survived that. It was a huge ball of fire. And that guy walked away. Okay, so when I'm saying natural thing, my point here is that natural things are hard for us to understand. So when we look higher, when we turn toward spiritual realities, especially God Himself, well, it should be no surprise that we quickly run into insurmountable limits. I mean, after all, what does infinite mean? What does eternal mean? How can God have no beginning and no end? Of course we can't grasp that. And we would get nowhere simply trying to figure out God, other than acknowledging that He exists. I mean, anyone can reason their way to that God exists. But we wouldn't get any further unless God revealed Himself. And that's exactly what we celebrate today, the gift of God's revelation of Himself. Not only that He exists, not only that He's the only one, but something of His inner life, of His inner beauty. And this is a treasure, because everything that is based on Him. So to know anything about Him helps us understand everything, at least a little better. So, the perfect revelation of God is Jesus Christ. That's basic Christianity. The perfect revelation of the Father is Jesus Christ. And He tells us He was sent by the Father, and He's not the Father, but He is perfectly one with the Father. Everything that the Father has is the sons also. And then there is this third someone that Jesus speaks about, who's not the Father and he's not the Son, but comes from them. We call him the Holy Spirit. So this reveals that God is a family. He's a united community of love and of life. He's not simply someone who loves. He is love. He's a communion of love. Now, if I were to say to someone, God is the center, the foundation, the source of all reality, they would say, okay, fine. That's kind of understood. It's kind of obvious. If there's a God, yes, he's the source. He's the Father. And if I say, the Most Holy Trinity is the center, the foundation, the source of all reality, people typically say, well, I don't understand the Trinity. But if I say, love, everlasting love, perfect love, beautiful love, is at the center, the foundation, and the source of all reality, then people immediately say, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful way of understanding the world and of all reality, that it's built on love. Jesus wants nothing more than for us to know this love and to be able to live this love, live by this divine life. In today's gospel, he tells us how we will come to know it. He says this, I have much more to tell you. Much more about love, much more about God, much more about our life in communion with him. But you cannot bear it now, he says. This is speaking at the Last Supper. You cannot bear it now. Why? Is it too terrible or is it too great, too big, too beautiful, too wonderful for us to take in? But when he comes, Jesus says, the Spirit of Truth, we call him the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will guide us ever deeper into the truth. The truth about how to live, the truth about how to love, the truth about how to enter ever more deeply into the wonder and the beauty of God. And that's what we celebrate today. The wonder, the beauty, the eternal love and communion of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.